Okay, Wes, thank you very much. Let's get your hymnals. And we sang it Sunday, but just to get us into the worship momentum, let's open to 374. 374. Just a couple of verses on each one, a couple of lines. Huh? 373. 373 is the one we want. There's two of them right there together. But we want 373. What is it? All together now. Thank you. Okay, let's open the scriptures to the Gospel of John 13. And it's important. We're there. Boy, we're way down there. All right. We're near the end of it. All right. John 13. Going to start what happens after his departure. After Christ departs, then what? So let's begin with a word of prayer. We got some things. Just remember you in prayer. Remember to pray. Mike Bell, who was with us last night, be in prayer for Mike and his heart. I don't know what's going on with him, but I know something is. Be in prayer for his mother and his father. His mother is Mary Alice Hobbs, so be in prayer for her and his father. We need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. We need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards. Need to be in prayer for Gigi's mother. We need to be in prayer for Tisha's brother-in-law. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
Marie and Mary requested some prayers tonight.
All right. In prayer for Marie. Marie requested prayer?
Yeah. Well, because Mary requested.
Oh, through Mary. Okay, all right. I was going to say, Marie did? All right. Mary, I can understand. Okay. I could say these are two ladies that Gigi lives with, but that would leave a lot of questions to eyebrows and all the rest of it, wouldn't it? No, wouldn't it? Just we just kind of, how did you pull that off? And be in prayer for one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our study, Jesus Christ has come to earth He has kept your word that you would make the righteous out of the unrighteous. And now he's going to depart. Tuesday night we're studying how he's going to come back. And the great glory that's going to be associated with that. Great deliverance. Tonight, Father, we're looking at what happens between when the Lord departs and when he starts to come back. What happens in the church. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see now. Encourage us in the manner in which we ought to live. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've had glorification, now departure, and post-departure. We're an extremely important part of Scripture, and so let's just kind of get a flow of where we are. First of all, there is betrayal, and then we studied how Judas is going to betray him. Then there is glorification, how he will glorify the Father will glorify him, and then glorifying the Father is glorified, so he will do it immediately. Last week we started departure. Jesus Christ is going to depart. And that is going to lead us, with his departure, to a new commandment. And so this is the momentum. Now look in your passage, verse 31. When therefore he had gone out, okay, Judas, that is the betrayal. Now the glorification. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Now verse 33, the departure. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I'm going, you cannot come. Then the new commandment. This is what he leaves us. New commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This has a new impact. By this, verse 35, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People were in the middle of a spiritual warfare here, what we just read, what we're looking at. Job, we have spent time on in two different occasions, in the beginning of Revelation and in the beginning in the study of the book of Job itself, how in Job we have the great challenge by Satan. How can the unrighteous be righteous before God? And Satan boasted that no one can do it. The answer to that is to all the denominations and churches and movements that go along in history. And this whole, the answer to those questions that we studied in Job. Then you'll recall that as Job presented the question, and that is how, and then that no one can do it, it can't be done, we're going to have to remain in the state that we're in. Then we went to the books of the Old Testament, and in the books of the Old Testament, God declared that he would do it. He could do it and would do it, and that he would do it alone. I am God. That's what we saw in Isaiah 43. I declare. He declares what he's going to do. And people, that is so important. Who is sufficient to be God? Who can tell you? The one that's sufficient to be God who can tell you what is going to happen or what they're going to do, and it happens. That's one of the tests of sufficiency to be God. I declare what I'm going to do. And then he said in Isaiah, I save. That's the doing it. And then I proclaim That is, I proclaim that I did it. Then we come to the Gospels. What are the Gospels? The Gospel is God keeping His Word. That's what the Gospels are. God doing it. This is the work of Christ on the cross. This is where we have a vivid declaration of a demonstration of the love of God. Look with me at Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. In Isaiah 48, very important passage in verse 16. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Come near to me, listen. And to me, one of the saddest phrases in the Bible, but they would not listen. So it's, are we going to listen to what's going on and what he's saying? From the first I have spoken, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And then we come to our phrase. And now, when's the now? And now, the Lord God. Reference to God the Father. What's important, since we're not actually studying the verse, when's the now? The now is the incarnation and the crucifixion, right where we are in our study. That's the now. The Lord God, God the Father, has sent, that's a commissioning, that's a mission. The sending by God is very important through Scripture. And now the Lord God has sent me, reference to the Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. We've seen all the way through the Gospel of John how important the emphasis was laid on He sent me. I have been sent by the Father, sent to you. And now we're seeing the beginning point of the sending of the Spirit. It's kind of like a 1-2 punch in boxing. You throw the left and then you counter with the right, real very quickly, boom, boom. It's a 2-punch. All right, it's the Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes. That's the now. He comes. That's the sending of Jesus Christ and then the Holy Spirit right there together. Now we could talk about 33 years of his life and all, but really we're talking 3 years, but what is that with all eternity and what is that to God? That's an and. I sent my Son and Spirit. And that's what we're looking at in our study. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to do what he, God, declared that he would do. Salvation for the entire human race. Making the clean out of the unclean through the work of Christ on the cross. And how does that happen to us? Simply by faith. This is the glorification, people. This is the glorification. God sending His Son, the salvation. This is the glorification that's talked about in verses 31 and 32 that we just read. Now, with His work completed, glorification completed. So, let's take a look at where we are. With the glorification completed, that's the death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension and session at the right hand of God the Father. With that completed, this part, Jesus Christ must depart earth. He must leave the whole planet earth. There's the earth. He has to go home. He has to leave. And that's the John 13:33 that we just read. I'm going away. You can't come with me. Jesus Christ must depart so that God the Father can send the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has to leave, go up here, so that God, here's God the Father, He has sent Jesus Christ, and now He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And Christ has to depart so that that second sending can occur. And then we can fulfill the commandment. So, let's look at it another way, again, this important thing. I, God the Father, declare, this is the sending of the Old Testament prophets and writers. I declare, this is God sending the Old Testament prophets, and writers. All of these are involved, the prophets and the writers. That's the I declare, telling what he's going to do. Then he says, I save. I save. This is the sending of his son, Jesus Christ. I proclaim. This is the sending of the Holy Spirit. You and I proclaim in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is where we're studying last night. This whole idea of the two witnesses and us being a witness. What are we a witness of? We are a witness that God has done it. God has provided the way for man to be reconciled with Him, be cleansed before Him, be righteous before Him. All those things we studied in Job. We proclaim in the power of the Spirit that He's done it. So this is where we are. So this is the proclaiming stage. Now, Jesus Christ is going to be replaced by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, He must depart. What did we see Sunday morning in our study on the Gospel of God? We saw in Mark 1, after John had been taken captive, Jesus Christ went preaching the Gospel of God in Galilee. You see what had to happen? John has to leave now. Jesus Christ can begin His ministry. Now, in our study, we had that same principle. Jesus Christ is going to have to depart so that the Holy Spirit can come. This is an important pattern through Scripture. Moses is going to be replaced by Joshua. Elijah is going to be replaced by Elisha. Israel is going to be replaced by the church. So we see our principles and studies going all the way through. Now, let's take a look. We'll just leave it here. Just take a look here. All right, first of all, we noted at the beginning, betrayal. Let's talk just for a moment. Let's talk about betrayal. Opposition to God doing it alone. This is why the betrayal is important in the momentum of our study in history. It's opposition. The adversary does not want God to do what He said in Job, the first book written in the Bible, what cannot be done, making the clean out of the unclean. No. So what is the opposition? What's the betrayal all about? Opposition to God doing it. Then we have the glorification. The glorification. What's the glorification? God doing it. And doing it alone. That's why it's important that Jesus Christ be the Son of God. Glorification is God answering the question, how can this happen? God said, I can do it. And I will do it. And He does it through the sending of His Son. God is glorified in doing it, people. He's glorified, and if we understand this, and we studied it, when we studied glorification, it is glorifying for us. He's done what we can't do. We're damned. We're unclean. We are unrighteous. We're unjust. We're all those things we studied in Job. And boy, what glory to Him, He did it. Because if He doesn't do it, we don't get it. We're not going to be clean. But He has done it. That's His glory, making the righteous out of the unrighteous. God is glorified when you, by faith, allow Him to make you righteous. He's glorified. And that's we do that by faith. Then we come to the departure. This is the flow of history in our study. Departure. Jesus Christ must depart. Before, how y'all doing tonight? Before God the Father, He must depart earth and go to the God the Father so that God the Father can send Him the Holy Spirit, send us the Holy Spirit. It's like a tag team race. I was in high school, didn't do it in college, but I ran the 880 relay. And when you're on a relay, you just pass the baton off. And there's a system in doing that, how you do it, where neither one of you, the guy picking the baton, doesn't lose any stride, doesn't have to look back, and it's just beautiful to watch it done right. Well, Jesus Christ is going to pass the baton to the Holy Spirit. And this is the importance of the departure in verse 33. I go away. We're in the Gospel of John 13. Verse 33, this has to happen. He has to depart. Then we come from betrayal, glorification. But by the way, you realize because of the betrayal, he didn't stop the glorification. We didn't emphasize that, but he didn't stop it because it happened. It was an attempt to try to stop it, but it didn't happen because there was a glorification. Then the departure, and now we have the new commandment. The coming of the Holy Spirit is given to us in a new commandment. It's interesting he didn't say, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come. No, he said something, and we went, whoa, I can't do that. There is no way I can love as Christ loved. And that's why he's going to send the Holy Spirit. So, opposition, glorification, departure, new commandment. Now, let's talk for a moment about departure. Let's talk for a moment about departure. Jesus Christ fulfilled his mission, and now he must depart. And I just want to add a little footnote. Same thing's going to happen to every one of us. We've been given X number of days, and when the time comes, we'll go home. It doesn't matter if you're 12, or 20s, or in your 30s, or 40s, or 50s, or 60s. There's nothing great about living 80, 90, 100. I don't know why anybody would want to, but there's nothing great in that. The greatness is in fulfilling your mission. Walking in the Spirit. Glorifying. Being a witness that God has accomplished it. So Jesus Christ has fulfilled his mission, and he must depart. So what I want to do now is let's take a look at the departure of Christ to heaven with his Father. Point one, Jesus Christ must depart before God the Father can send his Spirit. Jesus Christ must depart, leave the earth, so that the Father can send his Spirit. Two, Jesus Christ must depart, be seated, so that God can keep his word, I will. Point three, Jesus Christ must depart and be with the Father. It's going to sound almost funny, but he must depart so that he can return. He has to depart so that he can return. Four, if Jesus Christ does not depart, then the Holy Spirit is not going to be sent. Look at 16:7, the Gospel of John 16. Gospel of John 16, and we're going to read together verse 7. But I tell you in truth, I tell you in the power of the Spirit, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Holy Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So, this is Christ telling us the truth that is in the Spirit. It is to your advantage, it's to our advantage that he go away. And we've seen this so many times. The disciples were walking by sight. They were following the physical person of Jesus Christ. He would go to Galilee. They'd go to Galilee. He'd go here. They'd go there. They walked by sight. He's going to depart so that we no longer walk by sight. We walk by faith. And totally by faith. So, there's a powerful thing in our passage. Now, secondly, the significance of the departure of Jesus Christ on earth. The significance of the departure of Jesus Christ here on earth. One, God has kept his word in bringing salvation. Now God can keep his word in proclaiming, sending the Spirit. the Isaiah 48. Now God can keep his word in proclaiming and therefore sending his spirit. Another word for proclaiming is witnessing. What did we just see last night in closing? What was the olive branch and a lampstand? The olive branch was the Holy Spirit. There is no witness of these two men. There is no light beaming if there is no Holy Spirit. So, under point one, God has kept his word in bringing salvation. I declare what I'm going to do and then I save. He kept his word. Now, in order to keep his word, if I proclaiming, sending the Holy Spirit. Another word for proclaiming, us proclaiming what has happened, is witnessing. People, we are witnesses that God has kept his word in making the unrighteous righteous. We are witnesses of that. He's done it to me. Making the clean out of the unclean. We are witnesses of that. He's done it to me. He's done it to you. We are witnesses. We are eyewitnesses of a real thing that happened. We're not just along the story and some kind of along the way in some kind of ideological thing. No, we are eyewitnesses. I think one of the funniest things I saw was something I think, and they were talking to a person that was a prospective jurist, and this big lady says, this, "I don't want to be a jurist. Can I be a witness?" And she didn't know what it was about, but she wanted to be a witness. But people, we're witnesses of what happened because he did it to us. Point two. The significance of the departure of Christ on earth. The work of reconciliation again requires Christ doing his work on the cross and then being absent from the earth, requiring the Holy Spirit. Look with me at 2 Corinthians. It's interesting to me how some of these passages now, all the passages I know, but these are coming up. 2 Corinthians 5, please. 2 Corinthians 5. And we want to look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's our flesh. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Who reconciled us to himself through the first sending, that's through Jesus Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See what's going on now? Christ has come, he has provided reconciliation, he's departed, and now we have the ministry of reconciliation, which is what? Being a witness. That we're studying on Tuesday night. We're being a witness. Verse 19, namely, here's our witness, that God was in Christ, in the person of Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why? Because he put it on his son. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's witnessing. That's proclaiming. We have three different words in our study now. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have witnessing. And we have proclaiming. And they're all saying the same thing. We proclaim what God has done. We're witness that God has done because he did it to us. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. We're that lampstand. The power of the Holy Spirit is required to do this. Let's just finish the passage. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is what we will do in the power of the Spirit. This is our light. He, God Father, made him Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. In other words, he did not sin. To be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Okay, how do we answer the questions of Job? How can the unrighteous be righteous? You just read it. Christ does it. How do we acquire His work? By faith in Jesus Christ. So, significance of the departure of Christ on earth. One, God has kept His word in the salvation part. Now, He needs to keep His word in the proclaiming, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Two, the work of reconciliation can now begin. It can now go on. We can add right here, in chapter 14 of John, Christ is going to say, you will do greater works. Doesn't mean greater in number. It means greater in the sense that we're going to open the whole thing up to Gentiles. It's going to be powerful when we get to that point. But, so this is what's going on now. Point three. The third significance of the departure of Christ. Spiritual love in every born-again believer. This is going to demand spiritual love, being a witness and proclaiming and doing the ministry of reconciliation. Proclaiming that God did it by the magnitude of His love. So what is our goal? Our goal is to love as He loved. Think about me now. I want you to see what's going on. Christ came, reconciled, demonstration of God's love. You and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So what are you and I being given the ministry of? Demonstrate that love. That's why that love is poured to us. That's why it's the new commandment. All of these things are so interwoven that we can see all of these things. It's a demonstration of the love of God. We have to continue that in the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, what? We have to demonstrate that love. What does He say in 1 John 3:16? We know love by this. He laid down His life. We ought to lay down our life for one another. So the love thing is so interwoven with everything we're studying. And then finally, four, none of these can be done in the flesh. The ministry of reconciliation, or the proclaiming, the witnessing, the ministry of reconciliation, all require the love required by God, cannot be generated by the flesh. People, I don't care how sincere people may think they are and how deep they feel. Oh, I love Jesus and I love God and I love the Lord. And they can get themselves all worked up and they really feel it and all these things. Doesn't mean a thing to God. Doesn't mean a thing. There's only one way of this love flowing through us. And that's through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. It's not a fruit of the flesh. We're really impressed with our flesh love of God, our flesh love of Christ, our flesh love of one another. It doesn't impress God. Because our flesh is what? Filthy rags. It's fickle. It's fickle. Human love is fickle. If you haven't learned that by now, everyone in this room, I don't know where you've been. It's fickle. So this love has to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. People, this is why it is so important that everyone knows how to be filled with the Spirit. By grace through faith. And very few pastors won't even know, and fewer teach it. They'll teach how what you got to do, and they'll be right. They'll teach how you got to witness it, and they'll be right. They'll teach about a moral life, and they'll be right. They'll teach about singing and praying and giving and on and on and on. And never tell you how to do it. And so what's it done in? In the flesh. And that doesn't impress God. So it's so important that you make up in your mind, how can I be filled with the Spirit? Is it by something I do, or simply by faith? Trusting Him. With Jesus Christ and God the Father now glorified, a new period of history can begin. Let's look at verse 33, the departure of Jesus Christ. Separation from Israel when He departs. Separation from Israel. Note what He says. Let's go back to John 13. He says, as I told the Jews, see, little children, even as I told the Jews, now telling you, okay, separation from Israel, what? Due to their rejection. Separation or departure, actually, departure from the church so that the Holy Spirit can come. So he has to leave. Footnote, for the record, he will return. He will return to complete the history of Israel. He will return for the glory of the church. We will be made his bride and all the things that will be accompanied there. Then what will happen? Verse 34 is the new commandment. Then verse 35, a new historical impact. Now if you take these three, the new sanding, the new command, the new impact, you take all three, we're going to have a dramatic change in history. Dramatic change. And again, it begins in verse 33. Condition for the church age to begin and continue requires the absence of Jesus Christ. As difficult as that may be hard to for our ears to think that's a good statement. Absence of Christ is required. That just doesn't sound really good. But it has to. He's told us that. The absence of Jesus Christ is very important as to what the church is to do and how the church is going to do it. The historical fact that Jesus Christ has come, glorified God on the cross, and departed greatly affects the believer's life, and that's you and I in the church age. It greatly affects our lives. Let's look at verse 33 quickly. We went through some of it last week. Let's look at it now. Little children, we spend time, that's a term of endearment. I showed you how we went back and looked how Moses used it of the Israelites and different things. It's a different attitude. What is the attitude of the pastor toward those he teaches? I know some pastors that teach them as recruits. Some teach them as just as enemies and all this. But John, Paul, and Jesus Christ, little children. I am with you a little while longer. We also noted last week, 43 days, some 43 days. You will seek me, language of love. Have the Holy Spirit, so they'll seek him. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now, let's look at it tonight in a different way. What will be the effect of the departure of Jesus Christ on the disciples? Look what it says. You will seek me. That's the effect on the disciples of his departure. You will seek me. This is very important to the rest of the chapter and the following chapters 14 and 15. What he's just said right there, very important in their seeking him. Christ's departure from earth and the disciples trying to figure out where he's going, where is he, why is he going away, why can't I go, what's going to happen to me, what is going to happen when he leaves? Multitude of questions surround the departure of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Some people have a lot of questions. A husband of a wife of a husband, what am I going to do? I've been with that person for so long. What's going to happen to me? Well, that's just in a human flesh level. The disciples are talking about in a grand historical manner as well as in a very personal manner. They desire to see him. You're going to seek me. Why? They want to serve him. Why? Think about it. Because they want to be a part of this new kingdom. Remember what they're looking for right now. Is the kingdom. The crucifixion will occur. He's going to rise again. And he's going to establish his kingdom. They're going to be looking for that kingdom. They want to be a part of it. In fact, a couple of them want to be big shots in it. Want to be very important in it. He's going to usher in this millennial kingdom. Or at least that's what we thought. What's all this stuff about you leaving? Look at Luke 24, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24, 21. Luke 24, 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened. What's going on here, people? It's not happening. The kingdom. We wanted the kingdom of Israel. We want it to be over Rome. In other words, we want everything that you and I know is going to happen in the millennial return. What? That's what they were expecting. Hey, it's been 3 days. Why hasn't this happened? Getting confused now. Getting disturbed. Just when they thought he was going to bring in the kingdom, what does he do? He speaks about leaving. That isn't the lecture we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear now. In a few days I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again, and then we're going to get organized for the new kingdom, and Peter, you're going to be in charge of this, and John, you're going to be in charge of that, and boy, we're going to bring in this kingdom, and we're going to have a great army, and we're going to slaughter Rome, and we're going to build Israel, and we're all going to make lots of money. Amen. Preach on. That's what they thought. But what are they hearing? I'm going to leave, and you can't come with me. This is going to startle them. So their first tendency is to seek him so they can follow him. He tells them he's leaving. These men believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. They're in hopes that he would redeem Israel, restore Israel as a great nation. And he talks about leaving. You can just experience it with them. This is not what I want to hear. A great void is going to exist with his absence. It's going to be a void. It's going to be confusion. What are we to do now? I want to build all this up because I want you to understand what happened at the communion. And what's going to happen in the next chapter when he talks about bringing him in the Spirit. They're confused. What's going to happen to me now? His departure. His absence. I don't even know what to do now. If he is not going to redeem Israel, then what? So this is a very confusing night to these men. What is going to happen to them? And this sets the scene for the rest of the upper room experience, all the way through chapter 17. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, but as I said to the Jews, all right, first, Jesus Christ departed from heaven, from God the Father in heaven, and came to earth. That's the first thing that happened. Then Jesus Christ told the Jews he was going to leave them, and they couldn't follow. Look at John 7 real quick. Just real quick. Just read it. Get the momentum. John 7:33. Then Jesus therefore said, for a little while longer I am with you, then I go to him who sent me. What a beautiful attitude about your death. I'm going home to the Father. Why do I even think any negative thought of death? Verse 34, you shall seek me, he's talking to the Jews, and shall not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. The Jews therefore said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we shall not find him? See, all of these things, I want you to understand the disciples and the Jews and the people. We thought you were going to redeem Israel. You're not doing it, and you're going to leave. And what's going to happen to us? And now these are the Jews. What is he saying? Where does he plan to go that we can't find him? He's not intending to go to the dispersion among the Greeks. Remember that the Jews were being dispersed by Rome. And teach the Greeks, is he? The Gentile dogs. Verse 36. What is this statement that he said? You will seek me and will not find me. And where I am, you cannot go. Now look at John 8. John 8:21. He said, therefore, again to them, I go away, and you will seek me. Only now he adds, and shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Therefore, the Jews, were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. Now, what he's saying to the Jews is, you've rejected me. You cannot go where I'm going. I'm from above. People, you're from above. And the second we die, we're above. With the Lord. We're not from here. And that's why it's so important in our lives not to develop stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, over the things that happen in this world. You're not from down here. Don't let them do that to you. Don't let the things and the people of this world do that to you. We're not from here. We're from above. What is important in verse 21, in chapter 8, Jesus tells them why they, the Jews, cannot follow him, because they're unbelievers. They've rejected him. They don't want him. Later on in John 21, Jesus Christ is going to appear on the shore. This is after the resurrection. And the disciples are out there fishing. And they can't catch anything. They can't catch anything. What's going on? They're fishing on Israel's side. And the Lord said, throw your net on the other side. Oh, yeah, like, right. I got it. All the fish are over here. There are no fish over here. Okay, let's do it. So they didn't know who it was at this time. So they throw the net over here, and they can't even get it in. It's got so many fish. This is the church. See, they've rejected him. So they caught nothing on that side. This is why they can't follow, because they're of the earth. Departure spoken of in our passage, though, to the Gentiles, is different. It's different. It's much different. He's leaving the nation of Israel because they have rejected him. And he will come again as their king, but right now he's leaving them because they've rejected him. But here with the disciples, he's leaving them so they can get on with their ministry. So that they can get on with the church age. Jesus Christ must depart, go to the Father. They can't come with him. They have something to do. You can't come. You got something to do. And I'm going to send you the Spirit so that you can do it. You got to proclaim the victory of the cross. I've done the cross work. You've got to proclaim it now. You got to proclaim what I have done. That's what he's saying. Did we lose the tape? I dropped the mic. Okay. I've done the cross work. Now it's got to be proclaimed. Who's going to proclaim it? And people, this is why in the next chapter, you're going to do greater works. Not greater in number. I'll show you why we know that. You're going to open it up to the whole world of Gentiles. I came for the Jews. You're going to open it up to the Gentiles. But you've got to be left behind to do this now. I'm leaving. I've done mine. You've got to do your work. But before you can do that witnessing and that proclaiming, before you can be a lampstand, I've got to send you the oil. I've got to send you the Holy Spirit. So there's so much going on. Principle. Let's take a principle from this reading. All who reject Jesus Christ are separated from him. And this is even true of believers who reject the Holy Spirit he sends. If you refuse to be restored by the Holy Spirit by faith, people, you're separated from Jesus Christ. As long as you refuse to be simply restored and put simple trust in the Holy Spirit, you're separated from Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're doing for him. I don't care how much you think you love him. I don't care how hard you work and how much somebody's teaching and preaching and witnessing and giving and praying and on and on and on. You're not. You're not doing anything. If you reject Jesus Christ, refuse to believe in him, you're separated from God the Father. If you reject Jesus Christ, refuse to believe in Him, you're separated from the Father. If you reject the Holy Spirit as a believer, refuse to trust in the Spirit, you're separated from Jesus Christ. It's very beautiful how it's worked out. One other point needed here. While they are told they cannot follow Him, I love our Lord. I'll tell you why. He is so sensitive. He is so immediately sensitive. He tells them they cannot follow, but in a few moments, He will tell them that He will come and they will spend eternity with Him. Look at chapter 14, verse 3. That's how close this conversation is. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So He's very, very sensitive to every even little things that He says. I go away and you can't come with me, but hey guys, I'm coming back. And I'll take you to myself. And you'll be with me forever. Jesus Christ is leaving. It's greatly going to affect believers, how we live, the function throughout the church, our function, how we function spiritually. Our covenant does not have physical promises. The Jews and in the new covenant to the Jews in Jeremiah is coming to their land. We don't have land. We don't have wealth. We don't have possessions. You don't have any promise like that. You don't have any promise that you'll own land, that you'll be prosperous, that you'll have this or that. It is spiritual. That's our land. Spiritual. Jesus Christ in the resurrected body is absent from the earth, but His presence on earth during the church age is inside of every one of you. He's physically absent from the earth, but His spiritual presence on earth is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit? We are to do the greater works. So we're going to need the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 33. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now I say to you, but see, remember, He just told them, but it's okay. I'm going to come. I'm going to go build you a place. I'm going to come. Spiritual place. Not something here on earth. Not a promised land on earth. And then you'll be with me forever. The church is left behind to do His work. He started it, completed it at the cross. We get to be a witness of it. He is going to send His Spirit. He is going to prepare for our eternal dwelling place. He's our home builder. And I love that. I don't know how to build anything. He's going to build a home. He's building it right now. He's providing everything. We can just be at rest. Let the Spirit use us as a lampstand. This has been prophesied all through history. People, what we're seeing, Jesus Christ come, Jesus Christ go, the Holy Spirit come, and taking His place, all these things, all the way through history. Moses is often understood as a type of Jesus Christ. Here's Moses. He's a type of Jesus Christ. In other words, Moses came, he's a type of Christ. Uh-oh, he's going to leave, and he's going to be replaced by Joshua. And Joshua is the Holy Spirit. So this has been done through history. This has been played out through history. Let's take some notes. One, Moses sent or called by God to lead the people out of the bondage of Egypt. Everyone knows that. Well, Egypt. Well, first of all, the people are analogous to all members of the human race. Egypt is analogous to all mankind being under the penalty of sin. Moses was the Savior, our deliverer. He is a type of Christ who saves. So here we have the children of Israel in Egypt here, now By the way, the Nile goes that way. Here's the Nile. Here's Egypt. Moses is going to lead them out. He is a type of Jesus Christ taking us out of the penalty of sin, enslavement of sin. Point two. Then, after leading them out, Moses is told by God that he would not be allowed to enter into the promised land. Moses is now told, you're not going to be able to enter the promised land. Three. By the way, I'm just going to keep it up so you'll see it all the way through. I'm not here to sneak up on you. Point two, Moses is told by God he is not to enter the promised land. Jesus Christ is not to enter the church. He has to leave the earth before the church starts, and he does not touch the earth as long as the church age. What's going to happen at the rapture? Where do we meet the Lord? In the air, not on earth. We meet him in the air. He doesn't come on earth. See the analogy, what we're doing? Point three. Moses must depart so that Israel can enter the promised land. See? Moses has to leave. As great as he was, he has to leave. He will depart. Then will come Joshua. Whether Moses died or not, we don't know. But he cannot go into the land. By the way, he's going to be able to see it. He can be able to see it from a distance. But he can't enter it. Then will come Joshua. Moses must depart before they can enter the land. And then comes Joshua, taking Moses' place. Point four. Joshua was sent by God to lead the people into the land and set up the structure in the land. This is analogous to the church age, where Joshua is the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in the church age. He is now present through the Holy Spirit. So, just as Moses represents Christ taking them out, Joshua represents the Holy Spirit taking them into the land, picture of the church, Jesus Christ taking us out of the slave market of sin, the Holy Spirit taking us into, as it were, the promised land. Four, Joshua was sent by God to lead the people into the promised land. Okay, we did that one. Five. Point five. Just as God was present with his people by the presence of Moses, just as God was present with his people by the presence of Moses, he is now present with them through Joshua. Just as God was with them through having Joshua, so it is with us. He is with us in the Jesus Christ, and then he is with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is in us. Six. What Moses was to the people in delivering them out of Egypt, deliverer, Joshua was in delivering them in the land, deliverer. Continuing point six. What Jesus Christ is to us as unbelievers, what Jesus Christ is to us as unbelievers, delivering from the penalty of sin. So the Holy Spirit in delivering us from the power of sin. Jesus Christ delivered us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of sin. Both of these are going to be accomplished on our part the same way. Faith. Faith in each one of the deliverers. Lewis Berry Chafer, He That Is Spiritual, in chapter 7, the conclusion, makes this all so clear. He says it's faith, that the Holy Spirit's a deliverer, and faith in the deliverer is how you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit. How we are taken through from the power of sin and have power over it. What the Lord did is for us in salvation, the Holy Spirit does for us in the Christian life. That's why your Lord is the Spirit, who will take you to your Lord Jesus Christ, who will take you to your Lord God the Father. And finally, point seven, what is interesting is that throughout the service of Moses, Joshua was his servant. Throughout the service of Moses, see, here's Moses, and he has a servant. And the servant of Moses is Joshua. Joshua, first, is the servant of Moses. And then, Joshua took Moses' place. But Moses had to come first. So, here we have Jesus Christ. But, as long as Christ was here, the Holy Spirit was his servant. The Holy Spirit empowered him. Then Christ leaves, and the Holy Spirit takes his place. This picture has been going on all through the Scriptures. And we will resume at this point next Wednesday evening and cover some more really powerful and wonderful things going on in the Scriptures about where we are in history in our study. Any questions? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for opening up and letting us see what's going on. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, your glorification, and then where we fit in. And Father, we're not upset that all we are is a lampstand. That we get to be a light of the witness of your glory and what you did and what you're doing. We thank you for giving us the Spirit and making it so, so simple and easy to be empowered by him that we can reflect your light. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.